When you think about God's grace being sufficient, the reason that His grace is so sufficient is He's provided His Holy Spirit for us, so that no matter what we face, no matter what's going on, He is with us. He's given us the strength and the power to endure it. And over since last November, I think we've been in a series where we've been looking at the Holy Spirit. We've kind of took a little detours around Easter and that time of year. But I told you we're going to get to the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to talk about those this morning. And but I just wanted you to recall and just remember some of the things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, that He told His disciples that He must go so another can come that is even greater than He. And then He told His disciples that this Holy Spirit was going to give them power. They were to wait until the Holy Spirit filled them with power, and they were going to go out and they were going to be witnesses. He said that this Holy Spirit, that this counselor that would come, is exactly like Him. There's no difference. All authority, all power of the Godhead in Him, in the Holy Spirit. And He told the disciples, which is you and I, if you're a follower, He says to follow the Holy Spirit, just like you would follow Him. And sometimes I think when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we don't realize that we're supposed to be following Him. Yes, we keep our sights on the cross and what Christ did for us, but Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is here dwelling inside of us. And He's here and He's interceding. When you and I don't know what to say, when you're overwhelmed, And one of the things that's comforted me over the last several weeks is that when I don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit that is inside of me, that knows my innermost thoughts, my innermost hurts, my innermost concerns, He's praying to God the Father, God the Son, on my behalf when I'm like going, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And the Holy Spirit goes, I know Him. I know Kelly very intimately. Jesus, God the Father. This is what He needs. And He's bringing me before the throne of God when I don't have a word to say. And this Holy Spirit is something that He's given us as an incredible gift. And you and I are supposed to be walking in and following the Spirit. And as we kind of go into the series, you'll have to pardon me too, as I'm using an iPad, which I'm a little tech not savvy sometimes. Our copier got fried somehow this weekend, so I couldn't print. So just pardon me. I'm not being trendy or cool here. I'm just trying to get through. All right. So if you have your Bibles and you want to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to open up to 1 Corinthians 12. Many of you know that I grew up in a charismatic church because I've shared with you, and I've seen the power of the Holy Spirit in real and very unusual ways. I remember one time when I was a young kid, and I was probably 7, 8 years old, and I'll never forget it, is that they were having a mini revival where they were praying over people, and people were coming forward, and there's this lady that had a drug and alcohol addiction, and she wanted to be delivered from it. Well, the pastor and some people were praying over her, and there's this guy in the audience right next to us. I mean, like sitting right here, and he's like laughing. He's like going, "This is ridiculous. This is crazy. There's no such thing as demons." And then all of a sudden, when this pastor was and these elders and other people were praying over her, she kind of had this shriek, and all of a sudden, this guy that was sitting next to us, he actually ended up with this demon inside of him. And I was sitting there. Believe me, it was real. It's not something made up. Needless to say, this guy, he became a believer. And it made an impression on me, you know, for many years. And to see how realistic the spiritual world is, that is beyond us, that we can't really see it. We don't really understand it. But it's there and it exists. And then I kind of had a period of my life where I wandered for a while. And I think everyone can relate to wandering. Some of you stayed your course in your faith, but some of us don't. And I kind of wandered in this period, and I was trying to find my way back to God. And I went to this charismatic church because that's what I grew up with. And so I went to this charismatic church. They had the big tent, which, you know, you see those. You don't see them very often anymore. But they had this big tent going on, and they're praying. I mean, they had a worship set that was like 45 minutes, which you guys would have freaked out about. You know, it's like 45 minutes of singing. And then the pastor is like an hour. And then there's another set of singing afterwards. And then there's a time where the pastor was slaying people in the spirit. And I'm like, man. Because if you know my heart at that point, I'm searching for God, and I'm going, if the Holy Spirit wants to slay me, then bring it on, because I want to get back to God. Right? And so what was happening, and it was kind of unusual. This guy would put his hand on people's head, and then all of a sudden they just fall down. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting, but I want to be slain in spirit, so yeah, I'm in line, you know, because I want to experience this thing. Oh, he gets to me and puts his hand on my forehead and pushes, and I'm like, nothing. And so then all of a sudden these people kind of like swarm me. They put their hands on me. There's elders that put their hands on me, and they prayed for a little bit, and they were speaking in tongues as well. And then all of a sudden they put their hand on me, and again he pushes me. I go, I'm like, what? I didn't get it. Something happened, and then they actually kind of ushered me out of the way, because obviously there was something wrong with me. And then they went to the next person, and people were dropping like flies. And I sat there going, what happened? Why didn't I get the Spirit? Why didn't I get slain in the Spirit? Then all of a sudden, the words of God, and this is God's Spirit speaking to me, said, you do not need a man to give you the power of the Holy Spirit, because I have already poured into you the full measure of my power into your life. And all you need to do is respond. And what it was is surrender. I hightailed it out of there, because I'm like going, now that was a little bit weird for me. And hey, I'm not knocking the charismatic church, so don't hear that. Because those people, they're going to be in heaven too. If they believe in Jesus, they're going to be there too. We just have some different philosophies, some different beliefs, and some different things. But as I kind of remember those experiences, I remember the power of the Holy Spirit. And I remember all these talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And I remember the tension that I would feel because of that experience. I kind of actually went the opposite way. Like, anything to do with this, I didn't want any part of, because it was just like, obviously I didn't get it because he didn't hit me hard enough or something. But it was a path that God was like going, that's not where I want you. So I followed God instead and surrendered. And started to learn about the gifts of the Spirit. I want to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And I know it builds tension in you, because some of you are thinking I'm gonna go really weird, and I'm gonna say, hey, come on up, I'm gonna slay you in the Spirit, and we're gonna baptize whatever, you know, dogs and cats, and we're just gonna get filled here, right? No, I'm not going there. But I also don't want to go to this other side where I was heading, where I didn't experience any of the power of the Holy Spirit, because I was ignoring the Holy Spirit. I was grieving the Holy Spirit because I wasn't engaged. And I didn't understand. And so what my hope is, as we go into 1 Corinthians, that we take a moment together, and as we see these different gifts, that we try to seek them out and we try to understand them. And my hope is that we would actually take a moment, and my goal is to redeem the gifts. Kind of normalize the gifts, if you will. And I know that's not true, because it's supernatural, so I can't normalize it, but it needs to be brought back into the body. The gifts, now you have to understand that the church in Corinth was a messed up church. I'm not talking about the one up the road, okay? Just to make that clear. The church that Paul's writing to is a church that they had many things going on in the church, and the church was very dysfunctional. It was unhealthy. If you would have asked what they were really gifted at, they would have said, we're really gifted at using the gifts, and we're really gifted at giving grace. Well, Paul writes them and goes, you're not. I mean, just imagine that. That would be like their brains would swell up. Like, I mean, we thought we were good at this. We thought we got it covered. And Paul's like, no, you're misusing this. And so what I kind of came to this conclusion in my walk is that we have wisdom and truth, which is God's word. We need to stay grounded in that, but it needs to be infused and ignited by the Holy Spirit. And so that is my hope, is that you and I would get ignited by the Holy Spirit, and we'd come to an understanding of these gifts. Paul is writing to kind of correct these gifts. In fact, he's not even really writing about the gifts, and the thing that confuses me is everybody thinks these are the gift chapters. These are what Paul is actually writing about is unity within the body. He's writing about how all the different pieces of the church, and all the different people of the church, they matter to the church, and they have a very specific part to play in their roles. And so that's really what he's doing. He's not saying, here's a complete list of all the gifts, because we say that this is the gift of the Spirit, but I would tell you, and I would argue with you, that these aren't the only gifts of the Spirit, because we see all throughout the Bible there's other gifts. what Paul's intention is to make them aware of the gifts, make them aware of the spiritual things that are around. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. This is now about spiritual gifts, brothers. I do not want you to be ignorant. Don't you like that? I wish I could say that. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant, all right? So he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, now I just want to stop for a minute because I think this is important. Because when Paul writes the word gifts here, the word gifts is not in the Greek language. What they did is they kind of saw these gifts over here that Paul's talking about, and they kind of put the word here. What Paul was really saying is concerning spiritual realities. I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual realities. In other words, there's a spiritual reality that's going on around us, and it's an unseen battle. It's a war. There's principalities that you cannot see, you cannot understand, but you've also been gifted, you've been empowered to defeat these principalities, and it's all for the body, all these things. So he's like, concerning these spiritual realities. So when we're reading these things, he's going, concerning these spiritual realities, he says, you know, in verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit, notice in your Bible it says capital S, so that means that it's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men and women, I would say. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So what I want to do is I want to look at these verses kind of in sections, and we're going to look at the first three of them. Now, you kind of have this moment where you got to understand that the people that were in the church of Corinth, he kind of reminds them that you were pagans. The people that didn't know God, they worshipped other gods. They didn't worship the one true God. They didn't come to salvation. And he kind of reminds them that there were pagans in the ancient world. Because what they would do is they would go to different gods for different things. So if you're having trouble getting pregnant and conceiving, you would go to a fertility god or goddess. And then you would make an offering, and then you'd pray that this god or goddess would give you a child. Or maybe you're a farmer, and your crop, you're getting ready to plant it, you'd bring a sacrifice, and then you'd make that sacrifice, and then you're hoping that this god would bless your crops, and you'd have this big yield. So this is kind of their experience. So what Paul is doing is he's seeing what the church is doing. They're kind of blending their pagan roots, so all these false gods and the truths of God. And he sees that they're doing it within the church, and he's like, this is wrong. This is not right. And he begins to kind of correct them. And then I want to go back to verse 3 and just talk through these sections. It says, therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. So what he's kind of saying here is he's not saying that there's somebody actually in the church that is saying, Jesus be cursed. What he's saying is that there's people that are walking both worlds. There's people who are trying to walk in their pagan ways and in their new faith. And what he's saying, that doesn't work. He says, you're going to these pagan gods for comfort. We do the same thing sometimes, don't we? So sometimes we look for things in the world that we find comfort in. Maybe you're going through a rough time and you're depressed, so you find comfort in food. or you find comfort in a person, or you get your value from how other people look at you. And he's kind of, it's like a warning. It's like, you know, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, trust in him. He's sufficient. He's more than enough. He's given you all this stuff. And so he has this moment where he says, no one that is filled with the Spirit is going to be seeking after the old ways. The old way of life was the pagan lifestyle that they were living. And then he goes on. He says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So now he's going, no, you and I, when you came to your faith, you couldn't identify who Jesus was. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't know who he is. If the Holy Spirit isn't opening up your eyes to what Jesus has done on the cross, there's no way that you're going to understand what Jesus did on the cross for you. So he's talking about what happens is the Holy Spirit takes up residence in a person, starts to call and draw people into a relationship with him. And there's no way that they could say Jesus is Lord. Now, when you say Jesus is Lord, we've talked about that a lot in the church. It's not a new teaching that you've heard from me. Because I've told you can't just have Savior, but you also have to make him Lord. Which means that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going, all my chips are in. Jesus is everything that I need. He's all that I want. I am sold out 100% to him. And so that's what he's saying. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what you're saying. Your natural response is going to be, I'm all in. You're my Lord. Not just my Savior, but I choose you. So you have Paul in these moments kind of correcting the people in Corinth, but I think it applies to a lot of us as well. I think a lot of times when things get difficult, when things get hard, we turn to our old ways, to our old habits. And Paul's kind of correcting them. And I think he's correcting us too. And then he goes on in verse 4 and he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in men. So what you kind of see in this section, he says, there are different kinds of gifts, there are different kinds of service, there are different kinds of work, they're all given by God, right? So he says that, first of all, you and I are very unique. We have some things in common. You and I believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We all believe that by grace that we're saved. We don't deserve it. We all believe that Christ is going to return someday. Those are some things that we have in common. You and I were lost, but Jesus saved us. That's common. But then I was going, but you're different. You're very unique. When the Holy Spirit took up residence in you, when you were saved, when you accepted Christ, you are given a gift, and it's a very unique gift that comes from God. And those gifts, you're not going to have the same gifts as I have, and I'm not going to have the same gifts that you have. Some people are going to have a lot of this gift. Some people are going to have none of this gift. Some people are kind of like the unique person who is gifted at all things, but they feel like they're not gifted at all. And it's almost like a curse but a blessing because you can do just about anything. And sometimes you have all these little bits of these gifts. So he says that we're all unique, but they're all given by what? God. You hear a lot of people saying that these are the gifts of the Spirit. I would tell you that these are the gifts of God. And what's also unique in the scriptures, you heard me say earlier that we believe in a triune God or the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Did you catch this in these scriptures? It says that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, that's Jesus. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God, that's God the Father. Kind of unique how you see that in scripture as well. Just something that I didn't want to pass by because I think it's an important thing to see that we serve this incredible God and they're all working together, God the Father, God the Son, for a common purpose, and they're given these gifts for a common purpose, and that's to bring glory to God. And that common purpose is also for the common good of the body, it tells us. And then let's go back to verse 4. And it says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them in everyone. And I just love what this says. that God empowers it in everyone. Some of you think that you're not gifted. You don't think that the Holy Spirit gave you a gift. You are gifted. You have been given a gift. The problem is we are in this enlightenment period where we like to use wisdom and wisdom only, where we think if we can rationalize things, if we can think things out, we've been enlightened, so therefore if it makes sense. Well, the Bible doesn't think like that. The Bible states these truths, and these truths are always infused with the power of the Holy Spirit, which makes it very different than a rational human being. And I think with the Enlightenment period, something happened. I think we pushed out the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is powerful. He's spiritual. We don't always understand it. So instead of using our wisdom, let's make sure that when we look at Scripture, and that it's truth infused with the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves in this area that is this what I want to call this incredible spot where we get to experience the movement of God. Because we're functioning as the body of God. We're all using these gifts. And the other problem with gifts is some of us will look at it as maybe the preacher has the gift. Or you think maybe somebody in the praise team has the gift, and your gift is less of a gift than theirs. And what I would tell you is all these gifts are equal gifts. They're administrated to each person for the betterment of the body, for the common good of the body, and they need to be used. Now, some of you know LeBron James, right? Basketball player, probably arguably one of the best basketball players that's playing basketball right now. I mean, if we put in all our athleticism together and we went up against him and played, he'd still probably beat us by 50 points, right? That's how good he is. I mean, he is good. And everybody looks at him as like, wow, he's a stellar star. But the problem is he started at Cleveland, didn't win. Went to the Magic, won. Went back to Cleveland, won. Then they won, then they lost, then they lost, then they lost, and now he's over in the Lakers losing. Everybody's looking at this one guy that has this big gift. The problem is he needs a team around him, right? I think of Michael Jordan. I mean, he won and 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 won, right? Well, he was a stellar player. I mean, he shined, but until they put a team around him, he started to win, didn't he? And yes, he was gifted, but they put Scottie Pippen with him and put Dennis Rodman, which I'm kind of confused about that one. But they all had their unique roles, right, to play. And they dominated the NBA because they were using their gifts and they were playing their parts, and that's true with the church. It's not about a limelight position, a pastor, or a worship leader. It's about using all of the gifts. And in the kingdom of God, we got to remember, it's an upside-down kingdom. The least of these are the greatest. You know, some of us would think Billy Graham's going to be like really close to God in heaven. I'm not taking away from anything that he's done, so don't hear that, okay? But in God's kingdom, the least of these are the greatest. Meaning that there's people that are probably out there suffering. There are people that are out there that are doing this incredible work for the kingdom of God, and you and I don't even know who they are. They're the least of these. It's the same with the gifts. The least of these shine brighter sometimes. And you have a gift, and you are called to use that gift. So let's go on into the next scripture, verse 7. And then he goes, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. So for what reason was it given? For the common good. And we've got to keep that in mind every time you think about the gifts in the Bible. It's given for the common good of the body of believers. There's not one gift that outshines any of the other gifts. There's not one gift that is more important than the other gifts. They are all for the common good. And later on, we'll explore that next week a little bit. Paul uses this great analogy about the body and all the parts and how they have to work together to bring unity, to bring glory to the Father. And so you have this moment where we got to understand that the gifts are not just to elevate a person, which we see quite often happen, because they have a gift, they have a gift to speak, they have a gift to be charismatic, they have a gift to worship, and we kind of elevate them. It's not supposed to happen. All of us are equal. All of us have a gift that is unique to you, and it's for the common good of the body of Christ. It's not to bring kind of attention to an individual. To point to the Father, to bring unity within the body of believers. Now, there are people that are gifted at hospitality. I think of Jerry Good and Mary Ellos. If you've ever been over to their house, they have a gift of hospitality. They bring people in and they feed them. Kristen Noyes brings people and feed them. But you also know people that don't have the gift of hospitality. I mean, you've been to their house before. You go there, and they really don't make you feel welcome at their house, because you end up bringing the meal, and they tell you, don't sit in that chair because that chair is mine. I don't know what gift they have, but that's not the gift of hospitality, right? Some of you have the gifts of administration. Now, this is like one of the gifts that most people are like, oh, I don't want that gift. But think about the gift of administration. Without the gift of administration in the body, how would we do stuff? If Janelle didn't have the gift of administration, we'd be just a mess. She keeps us in line. She's using her gifts to the fullness of her ability. And sometimes when we look at administration, we think, oh, that's so boring. Well, man, the church couldn't function without it. So God said these gifts are for the common good. And then Paul starts to list these gifts. And he says, to one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. And remember, these are spiritual realities that he's talking about. This is why some of this doesn't make sense to us, because we're not thinking spiritual. These are spiritual realities that are happening around us, and these gifts are to be used for that, for the common good of the body. So when you think of these gifts, and a lot of people stop at this and say that, you know, this chapter is the list of all the gifts. Well, there's a lot of other lists in the Bible. You can go to the next slide there. You'll see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. You see it in chapter 12, verse 8 and 10, verse 28 to 30. Then you see in 13, 1 through 3, and then 13, 8 through 9. Romans, you'll see it in chapter 12, 6 through 8. And you say, those are all Paul. Yeah, Paul gives a lot of lists. Ephesians chapter 4, and then finally Peter adds to his in chapter 4, verse 11. So there's other gifts that are out there, not just these gifts. What Paul is trying to do is he's trying to make us aware of the gifts. And there's many types of gifts. And we don't dismiss those gifts that God gives. And so I just want to talk briefly about a couple of these gifts here. It says utterance of wisdom. What is that? Well, that's when somebody gives you a word and they speak into your life something that you've never heard before, but it's based in the truth of God. It's like somebody comes up to you and you're going through a very difficult struggle, and then all of a sudden they say these words and you're like going, what? How did you know that? Well, God gave them the gift to be able to speak wisdom into people's life. And I had a friend that when I was going to Cornerstone, him and his wife wanted to have children, but they were having a hard time conceiving. And so he shared several times with us that he picked Philippians chapter 2. Him and his wife just would pick that and they would just read it together, just to hold on to faith, hold on to hope that God was going to bless them. And they weren't conceiving. They weren't conceiving. And he went to Big Beast, and him and his wife, and he said nobody was in there. But then this guy came through the door. Maybe it was a guy. Maybe it was an angel. I don't know. But this guy, he looked like he was homeless. And he sat down right next to him. And they're like going, really? You got the whole shop, but you're going to sit right here? And he said that the guy opened up a Bible and began to read Philippians chapter 2 to him. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's a word of wisdom. I mean, yeah, they can open it up and read it themselves. And that blesses you and that fills you. But when all of a sudden when somebody comes in and they share a word of God to you that you've been just holding on to you, like in the heart of your hearts, and you don't even know this individual, you know what happens inside of you? All of a sudden you're like going, God knows me. God sees me. God knows my struggle. And he's going to do something. And I mean, I mean, those moments are so incredible if you've ever experienced them. The utterance of knowledge is another one that it lists. It's a message that's given to you that is filled with knowledge, that is filled with the Word of God and infused with the Holy Spirit. And what I mean by that is it's the person speaking this. It's like illuminating a situation that you're in, or it's illuminating part of Scripture that you never understood before, and they speak it into you. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, God, that's amazing. And if you've ever experienced it, it's very real. Because one thing that I didn't say about the gifts that I meant to say is Gaines Church, we believe in all the gifts. We don't believe that these gifts have been done away with. They're here and they're now for the believers. Because you've been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you've been gifted. And then another one that he lists, he says, the gift of faith. I mean, you've seen these people. They just have a faith that seems bigger than life. It like blows you out of the water. And you're like going, I wish I had a little bit of faith like that. My Aunt Vicky was over. And my Aunt Vicky, some of you have heard a story about her. Her husband, when she was pregnant, beat her when she wasn't pregnant too. She said a prayer, God, do something so it'll stop beating me. And about 2 weeks later, a week later, he was in an accident and he was paralyzed from the neck down. Well, he couldn't beat her anymore, but he manipulated her. He controlled her mentally. He verbally abused her. But she had this joy. She had to take care of him. She had to change, as her words, his diapers, and do other things that you and I would be like, oh, no, thank you. But you know what she had? She had a faith that is so big. He passed away in February, and she's talking about how God showed up, how God brought this person into her life at the right time. God provided food for them, or money for them, or God provided these things for them. And I mean, she just starts sharing, and she has this faith that is filled with the joy of the Spirit. I mean, it's just contagious. Some people are gifted with that, and it's just astonishing when you get to experience that, and you get to spend time with people like that. Then he says healing and miracles, another gift. And I don't think I have to explain those too much, but healing and miracles, we don't talk about those too often because we're a little bit afraid, because if somebody doesn't get healed, then we're like going, okay, did it not work or did it work? Well, sometimes people get healed, sometimes they don't. It's all within the will of God. I can't explain it. I've seen people immediately be healed. All of a sudden they got up and they walked. They couldn't walk before. I've seen the miracles that are beyond comprehension, but then I've also prayed for people over and over for healings. And I know for a fact, seeing miracles, so beautiful. Most of you know that my dad passed away from cancer. I remember one Sunday, he came through the doors in a wheelchair because he couldn't walk. I was overwhelmed. I'm like, God, you got to give me words today because I just forgot my whole message. And my dad sat there. I don't remember what the message was. Something about Joseph. And I went up to the hospital and he goes, Kelly, I'm okay. I'm like, okay, you know, Dad, you got cancer. He goes, I finally found peace. He always believed that Jesus was a Savior, but he never believed that he was loved. He says, I'm okay. And I can't tell you that. That's a miracle. I can't tell you what it did for me, my family, for my dad. God's still doing that. He's still healing people. He's still creating miracles. We just got to be aware of them. We got to see what he's doing. And now I didn't list a couple of the other ones of prophecy and tongues. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But I want to just finish here. And it says in verse 11, it says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. God gives these gifts to individuals just as he determines. It's our responsibility to respond and to use those gifts. What has God gifted you with? You're like, He hasn't. Yes, He has. Maybe you're just afraid to use it. Maybe you're afraid because all of a sudden you've had that moment where you've had this word of wisdom that all of a sudden just comes to you, that you know you're supposed to say it to somebody, but because you're afraid, you step back and you don't say that word. How about step out? Use that gift because that person needs that encouragement. Or maybe you have the gift of prayer. You know somebody needs to be prayed for. Take them aside. Pray for them. Don't just say, hey, I'm praying for you. Because what I know is about 95% of the people aren't praying. Just words. But when you come up alongside of somebody and you go, I want to pray with you for this. You know what happens? That's for the common good of the body. It builds unity. It builds up Christ. It builds up the Holy Spirit. It builds up God, and it's all reflecting His glory. The gifts of the Spirit are something that are beautiful that God has given us. So as we explore the gifts of the Spirit, would you just ask God to open your heart up and discover what gifts you have? And then would you be willing to take a step of faith and let Him use you in spectacular ways? Because He wants to. He's gifted you and He's empowered you to use it. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know these gifts are so confusing and they're so overwhelming for us at times, Lord. I would ask, Lord, that You would take all of our views that we have of the past and the things that are keeping us from engaging with Your Spirit, Lord. That You would just remove those barriers and that You'd help us to lean into You, Lord. And Lord, I would just ask, Lord, that You would just fill us to the full measure of Your Spirit and help this body be a group of believers that are using their gifts for the common good to grow Your church, to reflect Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.